نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سورة فاتحة is known as the Umm al-Quran, the basis of the Quran Sharif. So all the basic and elementary details are enumerated in the surah. After pleading to Allah Ta'ala that He shows us the right path, straight path, then because the world has the positives and the negative, therefore, we ask for the positive and we ask Allah Ta'ala's refuge and protection against the negative. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. So this مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, it refers to two classes of people. Simply put, across, one is the person that knows the truth, and then he is defiant, he rebels. He knows that this is the truth. He's learned, he's educated, he understands, he has seen the scriptures. So when he's seen the scriptures, so he knows that this is the truth. But then his ego, his family tradition, his pride, his jealousy has the better over him, so he persists on the wrong. So that's called مغضوب عليهم. Normally the tafsirs will speak about the Jews. They knew the truth. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. They knew it's the truth. They had no doubt about it. They're absolutely convinced. So this is one class. And the second class, وَلَضَّالِّينَ, is that class that went astray. In other words, they were not too concerned about looking for the truth. They were so consumed by pleasure, enjoyment, entertainment, they so consumed that that caused them to be disinclined, disconcerned about the matters that are even more important, matters that pertain to the life after death. So they got drowned in the pleasure, in the comfort zone, in temptations that drowned them so much that it made them disconcerned about the real life. So that was the second group. And the tafsirs will normally speak about the Christian, that this is an example of the person that became a slave to his temptation. So one is that group of people that know the truth, but their ego, their pride, their family tradition had the better over them, their jealousy had the better over them. And the other was that group who was enslaved by temptation, so looking for pleasure, comfort, entertainment, and that had drowned him. So thereafter, the first surah in the Quran Sharif is Surah Baqarah, after Surah Fatiha. And Surah Baqarah is addressing the Jews, Ya Bani Israel, children of Israel, that is Yaqub al-Islam, O Bani Israel. So that is the first surah, that is the Quran, and it's addressing them largely. Followed by Surah Ali Imran, and Surah Ali Imran is addressing the Christian. Your folly, your mistake, your naivety, where it has taken you to. You have become the leader of temptation, pleasure, joy, you have taken the leading role in all this. So everybody is enslaved to his temptation. So in the surah, there are numerous approaches that Allah Ta'ala applies to appeal to the mind. And why he uses this approach, that mankind will be misled because of one of these two weaknesses, either it's his pride, his family tradition, his jealousy, his ego that will let him down, Or either it is his temptation, his love to accumulate wealth, etc., that will let him down. So one of these two things will cause you to slip. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala started the whole Quran Sharif with Surah Baqarah and followed by Surah Ala Imran. And then, though primarily it is addressing the Bani Israel and the Christian, but it doesn't mean the Muslim is an exception to the rule. Because the reasons for their failure and their collapsing could be also the reasons for your collapsing and failing. You could also slip like how they slip. Like they are men, you are men, the problems and limitations they have, you will have the same limitations. What caused them to slip can cause you also to slip, so take care. So that is the message of the Quran Sharif, that you don't feel that you are a superior class and you have got some type of an immunity against all type of wrong. Don't feel like that. That was the mindset of the Jew, where he said, قَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ, that we are a protected class, protected species. قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ, nothing that is alien will penetrate our hearts. Why? We are a protected class. نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ, we are the favorite of Allah Ta'ala, His children. And Jannat, the first rights of Jannat, we have got all the rights for Jannat. لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا, we will go to Jannat. So this is how they had reasoned. So Allah Ta'ala says, no, بَلَّعَنْهُ اللَّهُ, the reason for you not accepting the truth is that you are under divine curse. Shaitan also got rejected because of the same reason. His pride had the better over him. And he said, أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ ثِينَا, this man is created, is made of clay. And I am fire, superior. Must I bow down? So that was the reason for the collapsing and the failure of Shaitan. Then that became the same, that became the very reason for the collapse and the failure of the Bani Israel. So you don't become a victim. That's what the Quran Sharif is telling you. We are addressing you. This was the cause for their failure, and this was the cause for the failure of the Christian. So you don't also become a victim. So in the surah, Allah Ta'ala speaks, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, what are the causes for your failure? What are the causes for you collapsing, falling down? The life is temporary. However you go through it, Mu'arum Rahmatullah says, he's speaking about a faqir. Faqir normally refers to awliya, right? And when we talk about faqir, we talk about a poor person, gharib faqir hai. But normally in the Urdu text and Persian text, when you talk of a faqir, we talk of the awliya. So he says that, you see, it's just a few days. You may enjoy your roast and your kebab, and you will end your time. I may enjoy a simple bread and a simple meal, and the time will pass. But what is to be seen, what happens beyond. So that's the real life. Allah Pak spells it out so clearly, وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ, a real life starts with death. Now, when we get engulfed and consumed with this, we feel, no, that's the real life. Not understanding that the real life starts with the closing of your eyes. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ, so with death, Allah Ta'ala says that we will remove the lid from your eyes. There was a lid on your eyes, you couldn't see. So that lid that was covering your eye, we will remove it. Now you can see plain and clear. But now it's too late, now you can't make preparation. So Allah Ta'ala addresses all mankind, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, after addressing what are the primary causes for your failure, for your loss, then Allah Pak addresses mankind at large. Says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, the love for pleasure, the love for pleasure, comfort, is luring to you. You get lured. That's in your nature, it's in your makeup, that when you see something, a luxury, a comfort, then you get attracted, you get lured towards it. حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَى, the first thing that Allah speaks about is women, for their love, for their beauty, for sensual pleasure, and you get attracted. Any person, pious or impious, but he sees something and he gets lured. He gets attracted. So Allah Ta'ala is enumerating these things that are luring to your heart. They are attracting, your heart is attracted to. Hubbu shahawati minan nisa. First woman. This is the first thing, because you want a woman, you'll do everything. Spend everything, make all the type of sacrifices just to secure that person. Hubbu shahawati minan nisa. Thereafter, children. Children, what you need them for? You need them for two things, basically. For strength, number one. And number two is for pride. My children, see, he's like this. He's a doctor, he's an architect. Look at my children. So, for strength and for pride, for show, you need them. مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِدَّةِ وَالْخَيْرِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ. And then, heaped up hordes of gold and silver. So why do you need that? You need that to procure and to secure all your luxuries, all your dreams. I want to make this investment, this comfort and that pleasure. I want all that. So the means to that is gold and silver. That's the currency. You need to have that. And to the extent you have that, that's the extent that you'll have pleasure and comfort. That's your mind. That's what it's reading, right? مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِدَّةِ وَالْخَيْرِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ. In the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they went vehicles and motor cars. So they would speak about horses, right? وَالْخَيْرِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ. And horses branded for what? Branded for their bloodlines and for their excellence. So you need that what? For what? For what do you need branded horses? You need it for traveling and also as a show. See, I got a Corolla. I'm aiming for a Polo, and from a Polo to a Merc, from a Merc to a BM, from that to a Jaguar, and from that to a whatever, Rolls Royce, whatever else, right? But now, that temptation never ends. That temptation, don't think at any point it will end. It will continue. There's no ceiling to it. It just escalates one after the other. خَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ. Well, an army will hurt. And the last thing that the Quran actually speaks about, alright, you got all these things, but you need some scheme for sustainability. So what you need for that? Well, an army will hurt. Cattle, livestock, and farms. Because that's the thing that will sustain all your life. Now, the question that comes up, the question is this, that why did Allah Ta'ala have to make these things luring to us, attracted to us? Right? We fall victims to these things here. So why did Allah Ta'ala have to make these things luring to us? Imam Ghazali, that was the philosopher, the great saint, alim of the time, he says, you can think about various reasons. From the various reasons that he has enumerated, I just want to share three of the reasons that he spoken about. So one reason, he says, that man has got that greed. We call it, whether you're enamored or you're lured and attracted to all these things here, call it greed or call it an attraction. One of the two, but it comes to the same. So that greed for excess. So why is there that greed for that extra? That greed is there for that extra, so just to sustain the whole universe. Say, for example, you were just concerned about your own self, own individual self. So you got an acre of land, I can do my grains, I can do my animal, whatever, and that will sustain me. But now Allah has created that additional attraction in your heart. So that brings about sustainability of the entire universe. Now how it happens? So you got greed for additional wealth. So I must have at least 20,000 hectares of land. I will do so much of farming, and I get so much of wealth. But in the process, what's happening, because of your greed, lots of people are getting provided with grains, rice, wheat, etc. Had you not had this type of a greed in you, would you be able to sustain others? You'll just do your own thing, and that's it. So one person, Labak, put his mind into this. Another person, Labak, put his mind into livestock. The third person into steel, and a lot of other things. So that will bring about a sustainability to the life of this earth. Minus this, then you can't sustain this earth. So this is the one reason Imam Ghazali Sahib says, perhaps this is the reason. The second reason that he gives, Allah has created that attraction in our hearts, you know. Because if Allah Ta'ala had not put this type of an attraction and a pull, you know, an attraction, an allurement, you are lured towards this, what would happen? Then when Allah Ta'ala spoke about Jannat, He spoke about the beauty of Jannah, the furud, the gardens, the palaces, the gems and the rubies, the woman, etc. Then if you didn't have an attraction for this, would you be able to identify? Would you be able to relate? You got no feeling in you, like in this virus now. Many people lost their taste, right? When they were affected or something, you lost your taste entirely. So if Allah is speaking about some attraction of the hereafter, and you've got no taste in you, can you be attracted? So He's created that, so that when He speaks about Jannah, the beauty of Jannah, the attraction of Jannah, you could be lured, you could be attracted, you can identify, you can relate, right? So that's the second reason. So you must be able to relate, to be able to recognize the beauty of the hereafter. So that's the second reason. The third reason Imam Ghazali says, he says the third reason is that Allah Pak wishes to see that who is the person that will make that wealth a vehicle to the next world, and who is the person that will get drowned. You've got a boat, right? That boat is the vehicle to take you across to the other side, right? So who is that person who is going to navigate himself to the other side, using it correctly and properly, and allow him to go to the other side safely, sound and happy? And who is the person that's going to be drowning in this? So this is the reason that Allah Pak has created it, that someone is going to get drowned in all this wealth, comfort, etc. Then that wealth will begin to rule his life. The wealth will say, do this, or do this. Don't do this, or don't do this. So who's ruling his life? We have become enslaved to that. Right? But knowing our nature, understanding our nature, Allah Ta'ala says, هَلْ أُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. Allah Pak is not saying, eliminate this from your nature. Because then this world will become dysfunctional. He did not say that eliminate this entirely. No. Why? Obviously, if you didn't have a love for a woman, will you get married? You won't get married. The world will not continue. It won't sustain itself. There will be no continuity. So we have to have that love. But what? For what? Just to allow you to continue your journey to the other side, to the shore of safety. So now Allah Pak wishes to see who is that person that will just use this as a means to go across to the shore of safety, and who is the person that will get drowned in this vehicle, the water, that wealth, etc., will drown him, will consume him. That's what Allah wants to see. So he says, هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ. I know that these are the things that you get attracted to. So I have got these things for you. But the condition is, be righteous. In other words, take care. Take care, guard yourself against those things that I don't like. You know, when you're leaving your house, that's a short prescription. When you're leaving your house, then maintain this mindset. What mindset you must maintain? That I mustn't have any dirty feelings in my heart. Heart must be clean for everybody, for all Muslims. I mustn't have any malice. I mustn't have any prejudice against any person. My heart must be right. Why? Because Allah Pak wants your inner self to be right and your outer self to be right. So Allah Ta'ala will only be pleased if there is the righteousness of the both. If both are pure, both are clean. If your eyes are clean, but there is filth in the heart, then will Allah Ta'ala accept this? Not accept it. See, the egg from the outside is looking so well, but from the inner, from inside, it is rotten. Will you appreciate that? You don't want it. So Allah Pak also wants that your outer self to be right and your inner self. So when starting of the day, at least at that time, things, will Allah Pak be pleased? If I have these type of feelings of prejudice, jealousy, pride, greed, my heart, right? Will Allah Pak, I want to spite that person, show him a point, will Allah Pak be ever pleased? He will not be pleased. And if it is decreed that this is my last moment, then how am I going to meet Allah Ta'ala with all this dirt in my heart? Like, you will not appreciate a rotten egg to be given to you. How do you expect Allah Ta'ala to appreciate and to accept this rotten that's within you, this rot that's within you? So that's an easy way to start off. So Allah Pak says, must I show you something that is superior? I know that you have this love. So I'm not saying delete this from the system. No. With these feelings, then I want you to enjoy the journey, but the journey must be safe. You mustn't get drowned. Come to the shore of safety. How do you come to the shore? لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا Guard yourself. Anything that is doubtful, I explain my friends all the time, that in the aspects of taqwa, just maintain two things. One is the areas of haram. Time is up. Sometimes this is an indication, see, someone just comes in front, so it's like an ishara, bhai, waqt ho gaya. Anyway, so, لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقُوا To get the taqwa right, just three things, two things in fact. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوا The limits of Allah Ta'ala, don't come close to it. The limits of Allah Ta'ala, don't come even close to it. So, in the limits, what you will refer to? You can refer to places that will lure you and attract you going to a mall. The lights are there, the presentation is there. Girls dressed up in all type of space, they are there. So can't you get attracted? A human being. So the areas of haram, look after that. People that will lure you towards haram, friends, etc., that will discourage you from the right and take you towards haram. And material, media, etc., that can lure you to haram, to the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. That's one. Number two, as far as permissible pleasure is concerned, Allah Pak did not say it's haram. You can enjoy it. But don't become addicted to it. Because if there's an addiction, you can't do without it. Either you will go to a nervous wreck if you don't have that, or you'll suffer depression. I'm addicted to coke. I must have it. Now I'm gone. I went out Jamaat, for example, for 40 days. No coke. What happened? I'll go berserk. My mind will not be able to function. Why? It's an addiction. So now and then you have it, just decrease that pleasure and the permissible things. Now and then you have it, and now and then you leave it out, so you know how to govern yourself, you can control yourself. So that's the essence of taqwa. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ So what will you get? Gardens. جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ All types of gardens. So gardens and rivers of wine, of milk, etc., all made, specially custom made to your satisfaction. Custom made to your satisfaction. Indaram jannat wa azwajum mutahara. Allah Pak knows that we have an inclination towards women. Women also, but absolutely pure. There is no deficiency in her. Now the woman, after some age, and there's wrinkles, body shape is not like what it was originally. She was like a figure at that time. Now she became like a pear now. So, all these things you begin to see, you begin to notice, but they is absolutely pure. Hearts are pure, the bodies are pure, they're absolutely perfect. You can't point out a mistake in them. وَزْوَاجٌ mutahara. And to top it all, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ When the jannatis have entered jannat, then Allah Ta'ala will address the jannatis and tell them, Oh people of jannat, are you happy with me? So they will say, Allah Ta'ala, how can we ever be displeased with you? When you have granted us such things that are beyond our imagination. You know, we think within the confines of this world. We don't think beyond that, right? So Allah Ta'ala will say, beyond your expectations, beyond your imagination, I have given you. I'll give you things beyond your imagination. So the jannatis will say, hey, well, you have given us so much beyond our imagination, beyond our expectation, beyond eligibility. You're not even eligible for it. But you've given so much, then how can we ever be displeased with you? So then Allah Ta'ala will announce, now from now this point, I have made my pleasure, Mary Riza, I have made my pleasure perpetual for you. I'll never be displeased with you. So the Jannati will go through such pleasure with that announcement like you can't imagine. You can't imagine. That announcement from Allah Ta'ala that I'm perpetually pleased with you, no more will I ever be displeased with you. So, now the Jannati is thinking, you know, and Allah Pak will be perpetually pleased with me. If forever He'll be pleased with me. If there won't be a moment that I'll be living in His displeasure. So, what am I short of? You know, a man that is attached to his family, right? Just for one night, she turns around and she's giving him a cold shoulder. How he feels? Hey, what must I do now? He's scratching the bag, trying to get into a conversation. But you feel like, you know, hey, there's no life. Just for that one night. Here Allah Pak says, by no more displeasure, perpetual pleasure. So you can imagine what will be the extent of the joy, extent of that happiness. I'll never be displeased with you. But then these Afahu is explained muttaqin, but the description of the muttaqin, Allah says, as-sabirina was-sadiqina wal-qanitina wal-mustaghfirina bil-ishar. Four features. What is it? One, the first feature is as-sabirin. They are constant. They maintain their composure at any given time. They do not lose the composure. Composure, how they maintain it? In conformity with the pleasure of any situation, wife, children, etc. But I haven't lost my composure. So that composure is maintained at any time, every time. Bukhari Sharif, there's a hadith. That person that is affected with the virus, right? But he is sabir. He's maintained his composure. Muhtasiban. And he's got that conviction that for this Allah Ta'ala will give me the maqam of a shaheed. That with my death, and I'll be entered immediately into Jannah. So he's patient. He's happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. He's not complaining now. Hey, I got this thing here now. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the children? He is not concerned. That his composure is maintained. Muhtasiban. He has firm yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala will bless him with the martaba of shahadat, of a martyr. And a martyr is after the siddiqeen, the second rank after awliya is now, you are posted to that position. So therefore, some of the tabi'een, they would say, oh Allah Ta'ala, give me that virus. Give me that virus so that I can be posted to that position. They were not affected, they were not overwhelmed. See, now today what's happening is, we are overwhelmed with a flood of information. So much of information that we become victims to it. We begin to feel that what they are saying, what is being spoken about is absolutely true. And then either a person gets into a paranoid, or he goes into a depression, one of the two extremes. Paranoid or depression. When Allah Pak's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying so much, and is giving you so much of hope, what's the need to become paranoid? What's the need to go into a depression? That Allah Pak says, you be patient. Understand it to be from me. And when it's from me, then you be patient. That's what I want you for. That you don't lose your composure. Be happy with my decision. Whatever I say, be happy. Don't hurt anybody. In that, someone comes to meet you, you met him. Islam, more than 60-70% of Islam is to generate muhabbat, not to distance yourself. You meet a Muslim, your sins are getting forgiven. Allah Pak loves it. You smile at him, Allah Pak likes. You joining the serfs, the hadith says, man wasala saffan wasalahu Allah. You join the serfs, then Allah Pak says, I will join you. I ask you, can you think of anything greater? Whatever is said by someone else is a kafir. He's a kafir that is saying it. You don't know whether he's a gay, he's a Satanist, or an atheist, right? You don't know. But here is the word of Rasulullah SAW. You can't doubt it. You can't fault it. Everything else you can find faults in. Here in the words of Nabi SAW, no fault. So you join a serf, man wasala saffan wasalahu Allah. Allah will join you. So you maintain your composure, you didn't lose your composure. As I say, at least 60 or 70% of Islam, kindness, love. Not to distance and break away. As-sabirin, right? As-sabirina was-sadiqin, right? In the day of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. My time is up now. I just mentioned this incident. 45, just 2 minutes I got left now. So in the day of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, a whole group of Muslims were apprehended by a Christian army. They were brought to the Christian king, and he forced them to accept Christianity. If you don't accept Christianity, you see this Tigris River, I will chop your head off and you'll be thrown. So Muslims were always persecuted. Allah Pak wants to give them a certain maqam. Islam never was spread because of force, no. It was muhabbat, with love they had accepted Islam, with akhlaq and good character. That was the sword that was used to spread Islam, good character and muhabbat. So now this king is forcing them, they are resisting. No virus, care sword, anything, whatever. But we will be patient, holding on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala, no matter what the circumstances. Life is short, but if our life is taken for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, can there be anything greater for this? Greater than this. So the first person that was being forced, he accepted Christianity. Second person accepted Christianity. Came to the third person said, no, no, no ways. So the king chopped off his head and threw the head into the Tigris River. And it wasn't more than 3 minutes that the same head, it surfaced right to the top, it surfaced, and he addressed all those people, the king, those three people that had turned, and that head is saying, see, my Rabb is saying, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, O soul that was compliant with his Rabb. This is what Allah wants. Loyalty, compliant, irrespective of the circumstance. Whoever and whatever is happening, irrespective of the circumstance, but you compliant, you got your composure for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, not for any type of material convenience. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you got your composure, you're looking after your eyes, your ears, you're looking after your faith, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, compliant soul. My Rabb is declared, irji'i ila Rabbi, come back to me. Radiyatam mardiya, you are pleased and I am pleased. I ask you, but is there anything more that you can ask for? Anything more that you can bargain for? I am pleased with you and you are pleased with me. Hum tumse khush ho, aur aap humse khush hai. So anything more that you can bargain for? Nothing more. And your Rabb has already declared, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. You can enter now, you admit yourself, be ushered amongst the group of my righteous servants into Jannat. They see that whole kingdom had shaken. All those people that were witnessing and spectating this, all they turned. The king got a fright of his life. So it's just a matter, a few moments, life is short, 70, 80, some will reach 90, after that your innings are over, you have to go. But for the few moments you can just hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala. Don't lose composure for whoever and whatever anybody says. Hold on to the rope of Allah Ta'ala, listen to his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everybody else is secondary. He is not Rasul Ibrahim. Rasul Ibrahim is saying something, that there is no such a thing like virus. He is saying, for example, that you join the serfs, that you believe in him. Everything else, that can take the back seat. You hold on to that, even if you die in the process, you have become the favorite of Allah Ta'ala, as a grand soul tawfiq.